I'm speaking with Sausan Kalashi. She is a member of Tadamon, which means solidarity in Arabic. It's a grassroots collective aimed at creating ties between social justice initiatives in Montreal and Beirut. We are reaching Sausan via telephone. She is currently in Lebanon. Sausan, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for contacting us.
Can you describe what it feels like to be in the midst of the Israeli bombardment that is currently happening in Lebanon?
Since 48 hours ago until now, it's been very tense. There's a very, very tense feeling in the whole country. Maybe even more in the south, region of Lebanon, in the Beqaa region of Lebanon, which is the eastern region of Lebanon, closer to Syria, and also in Beirut. So since yesterday, which is Wednesday, 12th of July, since Wednesday at 11 a.m., there's been continuous threats by Israel and continuous warplanes flying over Lebanon and parts of Lebanon at very low altitudes. So since 11 a.m. yesterday, Israeli warplanes have been flying at very low altitude, especially over regions of the south and over parts of Beirut, mostly parts of Beirut, the southern suburbs of Beirut and the southern part of Beirut, but also over all of Beirut. They have, of course, started their offensive on Lebanon since yesterday, I think either afternoon or around noon. They started by with their usual tactic by destroying infrastructure. They targeted infrastructure. So the media has been calling the war until now the bridge war, and that's because yesterday all day they targeted at about eight bridges, eight main essential bridges in the south part of Lebanon. And today morning they targeted another two bridges. So at this point, I mean, those are bridges that are very essential for displacement from one place to another in the south. Three of those bridges are located between Beirut and Saida. The city of Saida is the first city, it's the capital of the south. It's the first city going from Beirut to the south. And the city of Sur is below Saida. And so they targeted many bridges between Beirut and Saida, at the entrance of Saida, between Saida and Sur, and between Sur and other cities and villages in the southern parts of Lebanon, which means that at this point you can say that the south is isolated from the other parts of Lebanon, and that it's the main road that people used to take to go from Beirut to the south, and from Beirut to Saida, then from Saida to the other parts of the south, is now completely blocked. I mean, they destroyed the main bridges, so now it's very hard to go from Beirut to the south. People have to take branched roads through the mountains, which instead of taking half an hour like it used to, takes about 4 or 5 hours. And that, of course, handicaps all the movement of the people who usually are from Saida and come to their work. So people who are in Saida and regions around Saida and regions around Sur and in the other parts of the south have not been able, for example, today to come to Beirut to work. So everything has been paralyzed for the past 48 hours. And other than targeting the bridges, they've targeted also the airport four times today, three times at 6:30 in the morning. And three times at 6:30 in the morning, they targeted with bombs by the Israeli airplanes. They targeted the runway of the airport, and so which resulted in the closure of the airport. So at this point, no one could go out or go in from this. It's the only international airport. It's the only airport that is non-military in Lebanon, which means that usually people go out and in from Lebanon from that airport. Other than that, the only other way out of Lebanon is either by the sea. And at this point, Israel has warships stationed a few kilometers away from the coastline, so there's a blockade from the sea. Or usually what people will go out from Syria. And at this point, just a few hours ago, they bombed the main road that takes us from Beirut to Damascus. So at this point, you can say there is a complete blockade by sea and by air. By air because the airport is closed, and by sea because there are warships stationed a few kilometers away from the coastline. And by air, I mean, and by ground, if you want to say also, because it made it 100 times harder to get to Damascus or to get to Syria if you want to get out of Lebanon. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, it has paralyzed the whole country and made it very much harder for people to go from one place to another. Other than that, I mean, with their offensive yesterday, 52 civilians died. So 50, because of all the bombs that they've shelled on Beirut and on the southern suburbs of Beirut and the southern part of Lebanon, southern region of Lebanon, so south of Lebanon, 52 civilians died. Most of them are children, women, and elderly. And so just civilians walking on the streets or living in their homes, and if Israel throws a bomb on a bridge and this bridge happens to be next to a home, well, the home is demolished and the people in it die. So, for example, yesterday there was a family that had 10 children, 10 of them died. And so this is the situation. It's very tense. And today they threatened, the Hezbollah headquarters is in the southern suburbs of Beirut. So they threatened to hit the southern suburbs of Beirut. It's a very populated area with lots of people. Most of the people living there are from the Muslim faith, and most of the people living there are supporters of Hezbollah. And so obviously people will feel that they want to stay, but Israel threatened to hit that area. And so, I don't know, some people left, some people stayed, but just a few hours ago at 9, Israel warned shell bombs on that area. And at this point, what all that they targeted until now was the TV station Manar, which is the main TV station of Hezbollah. Wow. And so, I mean, this is the situation until now. I don't know if you want to know more details or...
No, that's okay. The Israeli military, and which is often echoed by the mainstream press, is that they often say that they do their best to protect civilians, and that civilian deaths are so-called collateral damage. What do you think about this, Sausan?
I mean, it's not about, I mean, we can go into Syria and say, like, oh, what they say and what we say and what this political party says and what this prime minister says. But all you have to do is look at history, look at the facts. And that Lebanon, with the other offensives that Israel has carried out on Lebanon, there was never, never, never a time where there has been an Israeli offensive on Lebanon without there having not, like, a few civilians died, but massacres, like, complete, like, hundreds of people dying. And so I don't think it is at all, I mean, if we want to base our argument on facts and not on theory, it is impossible to say that that is true. Mm-hmm. If they, I mean, for example, what they did today is that before bombing the southern suburbs of Beirut, they threw flyers, you know, they always do this, the warplanes will fly above an area, so altitude, and they throw flyers in Arabic. Mm-hmm. That are aimed to the people living in those areas to read. And so what it says, for example, what it said today, those flyers that they threw was, if anybody wants to be safe, get away from any place where Hezbollah functions or Hezbollah, they have like their base or something like this, and you will be safe. And that means people have to leave their homes. But anyway, if that's what they mean by they don't want to target civilians, that's not true, because whether those civilians leave their homes or no, they're going to bomb. And that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Like today, when they bombed the area Hart Tahrik in the southern suburbs, this is an area that is very heavily populated, and so they bombed an area in it, and obviously, I mean, all the civilians are in their homes. Where would they go? And so, I don't think this is accurate. No.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the reaction in Lebanese society, which Lebanon is already a very diverse, some would say very segregated and very segregated society. But what has been the reaction to the Israeli bombardments? Is there do people stand behind Hezbollah in capturing these soldiers on occupied Lebanese territory and demanding that their prisoners be released in return, or does it become more complicated than that?
If you want to talk, I mean, we can talk about the people on the streets and what they think, and we can talk about the Lebanese government. I mean, in both, whether we're talking about the people on the streets or the the MPs in the government, there are deep divisions, whether it's about the people on the streets or in the government. If we're talking about the people on the streets, there are deep divisions. Since the civil war in Lebanon, there are deep divisions. And so some people are, you see different players, right? There are people who are completely supportive of Hezbollah and trust their tactics. I think any person who has, like, who believes in human rights and believes in justice will support the demand of Hezbollah. So anyway, there are lots of layers. There are a part of the population that is completely supportive of Hezbollah. there's a part of the population that is supportive of the demand of Hezbollah, but is feeling like this is the beginning of summer. And I mean, this is an argument that keeps coming up. It's the beginning of summer, and the Ministry of Tourism had expected this summer to be the most, like, where the most tourists come to Lebanon, and therefore the most economic income to Lebanon. And so by this happening, I mean, the economic situation of Lebanon is going, I mean, is falling very low. And so some people will base more their argument on this. I mean, it depends. I mean, it's the same divisions that are since the Civil War until now. It depends what the priority of the people are. Is the priority of the people is to if the priority of the Lebanese person is to be in solidarity with the Palestinian people and to believe that the hundreds of Lebanese prisoners and Israeli Jews have to be freed, then they cannot accept the. Then of course they are supportive of Hezbollah's demand and Hezbollah's action. But if they think that this is not our priority, and our priority is to concentrate on what's going on in Lebanon and to develop economically and to develop Lebanon so for it to become a more democratic country, then of course they're feeling very bothered by what's happening now. And so, yes, there are both. There is this and there is that. When it comes to the Lebanese government, the same divisions are in the Lebanese government, except that the Lebanese government has been meeting continuously since yesterday, and they've all decided that the most important thing is that they all have a united stance. I mean, they all know that they have difference. I mean, Hezbollah has one MP in the government, so obviously he's going to be very much in favor of what's happening. But they've all decided to have one stance, and their one stance was, we're not responsible for what Hezbollah did. We're not responsible for what's happening, for the actions that are happening in the south. So, for example, Hezbollah throwing rockets in northern Israel or these kind of things. But we do still recognize that Israel is our main enemy in this whole event, in this whole period, and they want to try to make the situation better by going through more the diplomatic path. So, like campaigning at the UN, meeting with other important figures in other countries, and these kind of things. And so there are deep divisions, and there are differences in what people think. Some people support them, some people don't, mm-hmm. whether it's in the government or on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you would like to add that you feel of importance for people to know?
There are lots of things that I would like to add. I mean, it's just very important because, I mean, it's just very important at this point because I've been looking at the news outside Lebanon. So I've been like looking at like BBC and other news wires outside of Lebanon, and it's very sad to see what they're reporting. They're not reporting at all. They're not at all highlighting how many civilians are dying. They're not at all highlighting how Israel is completely terrorizing the people in Lebanon. They're not highlighting how the infrastructure in Lebanon, which is, it's not only infrastructure, it's really like families are separated because of the bridges that have collapsed, families have separated, people don't go to work anymore. I mean, of course, if the ambulances can't arrive where they want to arrive as fast as they should, everything, I mean, it affects all the aspects of everyday life. And so the first thing I want to say is for whoever outside can research about what's happening over here or can know and act outside in a good manner, which is maybe mobilizing outside in the communities outside, I mean outside of Lebanon, to put pressure. In the same way, I know that tomorrow there's going to be a rally in front of, tomorrow or was it today, there's going to be a rally in front of the Israeli consulate in Montreal. Those actions are good, in which the people are voicing their concerns about what's happening in the Middle East, whether it's in Gaza or in Lebanon or in Iraq, putting pressure on the Israeli government, on the American government to stop what's happening. The other thing that I want to say, which I think, I mean, for people who believe in the right for political prisoners to be freed, I would like to add, I mean, we are all, I personally am supportive of the demand of Hezbollah at this point. And I hope that it will all end well. I hope that the prisoners will be freed from Israel, Lebanese or Palestinians. If this was to happen, if they will be freed, then I think the next step is not to just stop there, but is to work on liberating the Lebanese prisoners in Syrian jail, which are sometimes forgotten in Lebanon. And so there are as many Lebanese people in Syrian jails, which we want to free as possible. So that's my key messages.
Sausan Kalashe, she is a member of Tadimon, speaking us directly from Lebanon. Sausan, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Yeah, thank you for contacting us today.